Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction? Devin Tilley here, and we have a great one for you today where we've been having a bunch of conversations in and out of the AEC Integration Summit, learning from the past, building from the future, turning shared pains into shared gains. My buddy Nathan has been going on this journey with me, and the main message we're going to be talking about today are about lessons learned from the titled Legally BIM at the AEC Integration Summit in 2024 and moving into 2025, just a few short months away. But these global and timeless podcasts all come together to where today we're going to be having some fun around this game show theme that we're going to be working with Todd Sutton, who is going to be our Bob Barker at the 2025 Summit. And well, he says he's more Drew Carey, but who knows? He's going to make it his own and put it all together and matching up. The main message is talking about how we match up horizontal infrastructure with the vertical, and the key is the digital models adding extreme value. And we're going to talk about this digital transformation in construction through BIM and the open standards. And today is all about the gooey middle of that, right? Passing that information along, the I in BIM, and demonstrating the value of technology and the innovation around that. And you can't innovate alone. You got to do it with others. And the main message is that talking through the expectations of deliverables, and we've been having a lot of deep dive conversations around setting up gamification and milestones and markers and all these things around that to figure out how we can have increased project efficiency. Nathan and I recorded all these different conversations like Charlie Dunn about go grab that 40% of waste. Sounds a lot easier than it actually is, right? And figure out that cost optimization through digital workflows, improving collaboration and communication. That's what we do in and out of the summit. It's not a conference. Go listen to all the stuff out there where this is you sit around the table with people like Todd Sutton who are living and making this happen and figuring out these improvements and figuring out how we can reduce risk in these projects and put these initiatives together. So the initiatives were from 2024 was Legally BIM to the Prices BIMed in 2025. And that's just kind of these different catchphrases that we're going to talk and learn about here with Nathan. And so my perspective before I pass it to Nathan Wood, our amazing co-host here on all these different series who were teeing all these up together, and we're going to be doing podcasts during the event and then continuing to have these conversations and break through the ceiling together. And my perspective is beginning with the end in mind, this conversation is the owner actually showed up. That actually happened. And we're going to talk about that and figure out where the horizontal meets the verticals. And baby, Nathan Wood, welcome here. The price is right, or as Bob Barker says, the price is wrong to Adam Sandler, that we're not going to use the words. Who knows which is which, but let's have as much fun as possible, right, Nathan?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and again, yeah, credit to Todd for coming up with the gamification. We'll get into that story. But I mean, there's so many stories to get into because, yeah, Todd is the OG of OGs when it comes to the origin story of our shared pains and Bluebeam and the PDF Coalition to what became our RFI Summit and this interoperability challenge. So, you know, yeah, definitely kudos to Todd for all the insights he's given to me along the way. But I think he'll agree that in our conversation, again, it's all going to come back to people and how are we moving people along from the owner to the designers to the GCs and down the line as Todd comes from vertical, but is now moving into this horizontal space. So,
which is super important, right? You've learned by doing and putting those things together.
Exactly. So, yeah, so we'll talk about those parallels and, yeah, really what actual next steps, when an owner is in the room, you know, can come from it and some of the things that did happen from the, summit in 24 to the, IHEAP conference, that was in Des Moines that, Todd and I were both at to, how that's going to shape, this next upcoming summit in April.
It's impossible to be at every roundtable, summit, conference, whatever you want to call it, but you have to figure out how to run between the raindrops. Nathan, let's go have as much fun as possible and get to know Todd Sutton's story. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right, lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
I would say water, and that has a lot to do with my health and, you know, how basically in 2021 I was hospitalized with the end of life renal kidney failure, and because I had undiagnosed and unmanaged type 2 diabetes. And water is instrumental in my recovery and also in the ongoing maintenance of this of my current condition of type 2 diabetes. Fully recovered from the kidney failure, though. So my kidneys are 100%, and I'm looking to keep everything else 100% too. So
we're happy to hear that, and happy to hear that you're keeping on the Adam Sandler theme of the water boy, right? You're
like, yeah, that's right.
It's all about H2O.
Exactly.
And we're going to, what I've loved about getting to know Todd is he doesn't just say water, he gives the story behind the story, right? And so that's what we're going to unpack today. Tell us about the favorite place that you've traveled, Todd.
You know, I was trying to, you know, that's an interesting question because, but I'll say most recently, and a kind of passion of mine is U.S. national parks, rediscovering, you know, what we have to offer as far as national parks and traveling. So, yeah, it kind of fits with one of my hobbies, too, so.
Yeah, that's cool. We actually, for spring break this year, we're just with two other families, three cars, just getting in, doing a road trip of Zion and Grand Canyon and Four Corners. We're just going to put in I think it's 25 hours of drive time, and we're just going, and I'm super pumped to just get out and go versus this rush to the airport, to rush to this one place, to rush to that. So I'm super excited.
Yeah, I was really interested to find out, you know, about the U.S. National Park passes and stuff like that. And but it also covers other monuments as well as national parks too. So I did not know that. So
tell us about your hobby before we go into breaking down these construction silos of the ever-ending BIM conversation that goes a lot of directions.
Yeah, so my hobby, one of my hobbies I really love is hiking and exploring nature, especially mountains and canyons. So hence my choice earlier. And then most of my hobbies, though, usually gets integrated into my work. Like I started off doing UASs, unmanned aircraft systems, a lot of people refer to as drones. Videography, coding for automation, working with gaming engines, developing games, and then hence the gamification area, and then the AR, VR, and then XR, which leads to the spatial computing.
All right. Well, what a great background, but let's go out back to the beginning and bring us up to now of what is your story that led you to being the director of construction technology at Zachary Construction Corp.
Well, my journey with Zachary actually started 35 years ago. I started as a structural line worker helper and then working my way up and working with the teams and kind of transitioning from a craft worker into a structural steel craft planner, and then transitioning from there to a turnaround planner in industrial process plants, and shutdown schedules and so forth. And then that eventually led me into project controls, and then project controls kind of, you know, led to the innovations. I've always been a tinkerer and wanted to understand how things work, also a problem solver. And so that's one of the areas that really, I think kind of led to my passions to bring that to the work, especially within project controls, work with the CII, Construction Industry Institute, Advanced Work Packaging, and their Project Definition Rating Index and front-end planning on the industrial. And then that led into, as precursors to, integrated project delivery projects as well.
IPD, so, yeah. Nathan.
Exactly. I've heard that TLA before.
Or currently called not to be confused with the current designations of design build, progressive design build. So
tangent we do not need to get into today.
I know. I understand.
And all that stuff is super important. Tangents. That we're trying to not be a violin song. That's really we're building off of yesterday, Todd, of all of these different messages coming together. And that's where the threads of Nathan and I going in and out of this to have these moments of time that he's rightfully so saying, we don't want to go there because we went there 10 different ways of, but it all has to come together and figure that out. Can you talk to us a little bit more? What is Zachary all about, and what do they do for the construction industry?
Yeah. So Zachary, I'm going to kind of start at the high level. But basically, you know, our what we're really about is our core values. And there's only three of them, so it's really short. Every person matters. Together we can do great things. And this is more than a job. So, and with all that said, if you think about that, not only this is great values to have for your company, but how you work together as an industry in collaboration with others. So it's all true, you know, as far as that comes through. But, you know, Zachary's been around for over 100 years. You know, we span multiple industries. A lot of people aren't aware of that, but we have our aggregates and material manufacturing through Capital Aggregates. We also do large-scale infrastructure construction services and through Zachary Construction Corporation. And also, we also have our hospitality development and ownership and operation through our Zachary Hotels. So it's very diverse, multi-market company. So, and I'm involved in all of those sectors, mainly in research development side.
Awesome. So we got this teed up. I'm going to dive right into the gamification and talk about how we pass the baton here and building up. Make sure you go back in the show notes. We'll put links, but go back to the great conversations we had with Chad Pearson on show 360, where we did the top 10 list with him. And we did it with Benny talking about empowering the next generation of builders. And so we're doing the best we can of taking these different themes from last year to the themes to this year and kind of mashing all that stuff together. So on all those, we did the same thing. So if you're into this, what we're about to get into of like, we can't be everywhere to fast track who showed up and how we showed up is when I grew up, one of my favorite shows was David Letterman. And I just really looked forward to the top 10 list. So we've been doing these on all these podcasts where what I'm going to do is go down. I'm going to be the David Letterman. Then we're going to flip roles when Todd is going to be in person when we're doing it at here and there and everywhere. But taking turns of who is the MC and who is the person providing the data, but having as much fun as possible or gamification that we've been talking through. So what I challenge Todd to do is shout out to Aaron Wright of the Construction Channel. He made all these amazing videos last year that we were able to go back to and pause and think through and provide the top 10 things from the video of his takeaway from Legally BIM in 2024. So have I set the stage, Nathan? Does that make sense for me to give the top 10 and let Todd provide those 10, 9, 8 down to number one?
All you need is a drum roll.
All right. Drum roll, please, Nathan. Number 10.
Finally, BIM is the contract deliverable.
Number 9.
The designer concerns don't equal contractor needs.
Number 8.
The role of standards.
Number 7.
Class detection equals cash protection.
I like cash protection. Number 6.
Digital twin advantage.
Number 5.
BIM and pre-construction saves more than time.
Number 4.
Automated machine guidance enhanced.
Number 3.
Collaboration, removing silos and barriers.
Number 2.
Paperless equals seamless data transfer.
And the number one answer that we're going to all sit back and listen to Nathan and Todd rap about all of these top 10 lists is...
The owner showed up.
Holy shamoligans, it actually happened. No violin song with Todd Sutton. You guys actually did it. And that was, it was in a good way, it was really in the weeds of it was like, I think the Texas Department of Transportation, right? Is
yes.
What it was all about. And so you really... doing a full project and bringing that project to the table at the summit. So you're talking about a real project that you're trying to put this together. So 10 kind of one-liners that we threw out there. I'm going to sit back, Nathan, Todd, run us back through those, and we're going to talk through why you should show up to the conference.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, the owner, TechSot, was huge, and really what the owner brought was Nicole and Christopher with Kimley Horn on the design side, and I think they really had the meat and potatoes of sort of what they have planned, what they have going on, and I guess, Todd, I think that was probably the most eye-opening was kind of the information that they brought to the table that maybe you weren't aware of before. Is that right?
Right, yeah. And the fact that they had a whole program, it was all around a whole program that was going to span multiple years with five different pilots projects. So with the first one that we focused on in that particular workshop.
So for the listening audience that doesn't know about this, and a guy like me that's not in horizontals or road infrastructure, can you just give us the synopsis or the case study about this? And, you know, it sounds like you got the key stakeholders, you mapped out to execute the vision. It wasn't just a one and done. You got all the critical players put together. But what is the project and how did that work?
Well, yeah, I think there's two parts, and Todd definitely shed more light on this because you're the expert, but I think there's the larger initiative that TxDOT is trying to do, which is around digital project delivery and using the model as the legal deliverable, or MALD, MALD. There's another FLA, four-letter acronym for you. But as they try and push this forward, that larger plan, we are really trying to pick apart and dive deep on just the bidding scenario and like how would a Zachary Construction receive from a Kimley Horn a 3D model and then be able to do all that same bidding and takeoff and everything from that. So Todd, I guess like anything you want to kind of expand on that as far as, you know, what you learned from Kimley Horn and kind of what came out of the discussion.
Yeah. So what we really found out was kind of more about the how they were using the, I guess, industry standards being supported through Building Smart International and also the U.S. BIM national standards, and then supporting BIM for infrastructure specifically. And then along with the IFC 4.0, which also added infrastructure as a category or within a domain within its, you know, standard.
So Todd, what do you want to recap of those top 10s from last year before we talk through why you should show up and why be involved in this whole collaborative that we have out here?
Well, you know, I would actually have to say, you know, one of the biggest things is the collaboration, right? And, you know, and really being able to drive industry change through collaboration with groups like Construction Progress Coalition and doing these summits, and which can bring the owner together along with the contractors, along with educators from academia as well in some cases, and the technology service solutions providers as well. So
I'm going to go a little bit of a clash detection versus cash protection here.
Okay.
On yesterday, I was a meeting that introduced to a group here in Denver through Nathan, and it really after a whole at the end of the meeting, it was BIM and all of these models is just an utter waste of time, and it was several crusty people in the room of saying, now we have to do all this stuff that no one used and all this extra work. It's a total waste of time. By the way, I was the one that teed up because the question was, what is your biggest concern for 2025? And I brought up getting people to actually use the digital model and put the kit of parts together. And that was kind of maybe too generic because they got very like, we've spent 20 years of talking about how the digital twin's going to do something, and now it doesn't. And it goes into the legal speak and all the stuff that we all have talked through over and over again. But I really want to say at the end of this, the silver lining is the owner showed up, and that's the key thing, that word owner, because who's going to own what and who's going to pay for what, right, Todd?
Right. And in this case, too, not only did they show up, you know, during a workshop, but when they actually went through, they held several, I guess, events around Texas leading up to this job being let out. And they, along with their different district offices, getting everybody on board from the TxDOT side, as well as the contractors that were going to be involved in the bidding of this as well. And one thing I noticed that when we actually did the, when the project actually was let out for bid, this, it was actually let out January the 8th of this year. One of the main differences I saw was the fact that the detail that they have, including all the underground, all the survey data, GIS data, you normally don't get all that information at bid time. Usually you just have PDF drawings, but actually having the model really kind of shined a lot of light on it, especially when you could look at the GIS data, the implementation of the GIS part of it along with the model, and then be able to look at it in cross-section view and see where you had underground obstructions or you had some underground conflicts even before you even started bidding. So there was no surprises really in that context, and they had already acknowledged that and showed the rerouting for the new materials. So they actually did that in the design without us having, you know, before we even went to bid it. So that was very impressive, I thought.
Well, and I think what you're hitting on is the solution to the frustration, I think, Devin, that maybe you were hearing in the room in Denver, is that there is a certain kind of burden of adoption or burden of reliance that you have to get to with BIM, where you have to have an owner that says, yeah, like, you can actually trust this and bid off of it. And
100%.
And
this was a group
until
of
then, it's going to be wasteful. Yeah.
That they're saying, we don't get paid. We get paid to make a 2D, and our insurance is 2D, and all these different conversations I listened to. That was enlightening for me because it's like, why should I do all this free work and give the BIM model for them to come back and go at the architect and tell them it's all screwed up? And it's like, that's right. Helpful to talk through that. And that's what we do at the summit, that Todd, you're talking about how it was almost a year ago when you brought these people to there. And what you're saying now is when you're going to bid, the deliverables are actually helping instead of hindering the data drop chasm.
Well, just clarification, that was Nathan, and I believe Christian Connor, that helped bring the TxDOT
Connor Christian.
The table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Connor Christian, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. got him to
Absolutely.
The table.
Yeah, with Kiewit, and he's been huge influencer again, and it all just goes back to the network of how do we get the right folks in the room, and then once they're in the room, make sure that it's time well spent, and that they want to return next year and see value in pushing this
forward. Which has been a big part of Nathan pushing to make sure when you go in and out of a summit that you're allowing people to have the freedom. Then the expectations can be changed a lot when you give instead of just here's what the deliverable is going to be, you're going to come to this, you're going to sit, and you're just going to watch this deliverable, and you're going to move on from a marketing point of view. And that's what we love about how Charlie Dunn talked about on our podcast. So that's not what this is for. These are the people that really want to drive change. I'm curious, Nathan and Todd, I don't know what, at the beginning, Nathan, you said something about I just had to look it up to make sure
I didn't screw up the acronym.
All of these different acronyms of, I don't even know, I can't even track of my of all these different anymore. But you had said, basically, if I'm hearing you right, you and Todd are doing something in the middle that I don't know about, that we're all doing something in the middle going in and out of the summits to help break through the ceiling together and turn them into shared gains.
Yeah, so part of this back and forth, and Todd, I believe this is also your first IHEAP, which IHEAP stands for the International Highway Engineering Exchange Program. It's basically an annual conference that's hosted by a different DOT every year. So it's in a different state. This year it just happened to be in Iowa. I think next year it's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Yep. But it was my first exposure to what the technology muckety mucks of the highway engineering world, the Connor Christians and others of the world that live in that space. And so it was very eye opening, I think, for Todd and I both to be there and to learn really where horizontal construction is at, because there are a lot of differences between vertical and horizontal construction. It's almost as different as manufacturing is in construction, you could argue, but there are differences and similarities. So I think there was a lot to learn from that, and that whole idea of exchanging back and forth, where we want to bring as many folks from that world into our world of different divergent thinkers, and then take those messages back to their world like an IHEAP. So we've already got plans for this year to have even more structured kind of recommendations to bring back to IHEAP and submit again to present this year.
So I love that. So you're going to something that we all just complain about potholes and none of the roads work, but you guys are in there like actually figuring out how all of the stuff above and below all connects to then bring that into our built environment, which it's all from the outside. You think, well, that's all kind of the same stuff. But when you start learning and getting in the undertow, it's amazing how many differences there are, right?
Absolutely.
Nathan, talk with Todd, who you said the OG of OGs. We've all had been a great exercise to where I always say the best ideas are borrowed and executed better with a group of innovators, to where this is my second year of coming to the summit. But we've been having a lot of conversations with the Bennies and the Chads and the Todds that have been around and been very involved for a long time. But really the call to action here is, you know, to get more to come and be involved like Todd did, of bringing other people to the table. But we all want to learn from you and Todd of why we should do that.
Yeah, and another face on the Mount Rushmore of CBC to mention, Sasha Reed, was, you know, when she first connected me with Todd, you know, anytime she makes a recommendation of someone to me, you usually listen. So that was probably, at a Blue Beam conference in 2015 or 2016, mm-hmm. I have to imagine. I've learned a lot from Todd's just wealth of knowledge, and always trying to find the data and the research. I think we have very similar hunches about where the world is going or where the industry is going, but Todd has the fortitude to go through and actually find data that backs that stuff up, and go out and test stuff too. I mean, it just the ability for you to go out and actually, you know, do the things that we often talk about and pontificate about is, I think, really what makes CBC valuable, in my opinion. So I'm curious, Todd, you know, your thoughts, you know, as someone who sticks with it, what you're getting out of these experiences.
You know, I think, especially with the Construction Progress Coalition, you know, I've really found that, you know, it really takes, you know, basically collaboration, you know, helps drive the industry, you know, to change, right? So I really think that's one of the key areas. I really felt like that Construction Progress Coalition really solved a need, especially when you're looking at the smaller contractors, the different trades, and even some of the smaller startup companies that are trying to support our industry, and how can they best be effective to the industry. I think that's one of the areas there, the Construction Progress Coalition actually brings alignment in those areas as well. And I personally want to, you know, involved because I really believe that integration is the future. And, you know, and to be able to get there, you know, we need to support open data standards. We need, you know, to have open conversations and open minds to come up with the solutions for those.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Devin, Todd certainly exemplifies our desire to have fun. I always forget that last year, just on a whim, I forget, you might remember the name of the app you found, Todd, that would use AI to create different songs out of basically like website text. And you were able to create a couple of CPC shared pain songs.
I was using Sudo and AI, you know, song generation, which is even better now. We did it on the fly at the conference. I came up with the creation of, I actually used other, to come up with the lyrics, I would use another large language model, I think Claude, Sonnet at the time. And then, my secret recipe for creating these songs were basically looking at the mission statement and the values on the website, and then I came up with two different songs. I originally came up with one, but that particular day that we were showcasing it, apparently that night, overnight, Taylor Swift had released a double single.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So I had to match it, you know.
Oh, geez.
That's super cool. Well, Todd, from your point of view, why should people get involved? Obviously, we just highlighted a lot of reasons why, but what is your take of spending all this time in this group, and where do you hope it? Where do you think we're going to take it, and what do you hope to continue to get out of it?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing is, especially at the AEC Integration Summit itself, I think we, you know, this, we hear a lot of, we mentioned some of the leading voices that we've heard before, and even in this podcast, well, they're all there in person at this particular conference, and you get to hear from them. And I think really one of the areas you kind of share everybody kind of discuss their shared pains, and then basically from those discussions you come up with your shared gains, right? So I think that's one of the key benefits. If I guess what I'm really trying to say is this isn't like a conference you go to and just listen to people give presentations. This is interactive. This is very, you're actually solving real world problems and working together to come up with those solutions. So having everybody at the table. So, you know, really why you want to join so you can be at the table and direct the future of our industry.
Well said. Yeah, and I think you really said at the end that it's not just hearing from them, but actually getting to engage with them, because it's not just, you know, 1,000 people and they're up at the front of the stage talking, and, you know, you might get a chance if you wait 30 minutes after to say a few words and get their business card. But no, it's like actually sitting around at a table and asking those questions and learning from them.
And I think because of that, too, you actually develop stronger connections and relationships with their, you know, with them than, you know, more so than the traditional networking. The proof of that is, you know, we've continued the relationship with TxDOT and Kim Lee Horn to this day. It's ongoing kind of with workshops or presentations or just ongoing conversations, you know. So I wouldn't have had that if I hadn't attended last year.
And I think that's maybe a good question, Todd, knowing that this is probably the most similar topic, you know, kind of where we learned a ton just from meeting folks for the first time last year and building on those relationships. But knowing that those pilot projects have been, admittedly probably a struggle to get off the ground. What are you hoping to get out of this year that maybe we didn't, you know, get to accomplish last year?
Well, I guess the biggest part is not only that I mentioned that job was bid back in January. And then they had like a 30-day kind of, you know, bringing the contractor on board with the team, with the design team and engineers and everybody before they actually started the work. But it was only a 95-day project. So that means that project will be nearing completion by the time we have our workshop. So we not only will we know how the bidding went on that job, we will also have some insight of how the project actually went.
Love that data.
Yeah, and the end-to-end, right? And figuring out how do you take that specific project and tie it into the overall common data language and all these big picture stuff we're trying to talk about. So as we work to close this thing out, bringing all of the stuff in and out of the summit, Art of Construction, as this is specifically designed for contractors and its affiliates to go out there and crush it and grow their business, one of the big things we're big believers in is we got to figure out to understand the technologies and the sources of truth to those different projects. And so the question we always ask, Todd, is what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
I'll kind of do my top five, okay? So kind of leading up to the summary, since we led with the top 10, so let's end with the top five. So
sounds good.
I really believe that the models will replace the paper for real this time. I know we've been talking that for decades. We've talked about how we're going to digitize and transfer, you know, to digitization. But it's really the fact that, you know, it's not so much the model, it's really the data that's embedded into that model, right? So and I believe that leads to my number two, with data will drive everything. You know, the future isn't just the 3D models. It's the data-rich models that are, powering the decisions being made in real time. It's also a way to automate equipment and use machine learning for optimizing material, procurement, and as well as, as we lead into number three, is the automation and robotics. Basically, we'll take hold, and you know, I'm really excited in that area, because we actually started having machine guided equipment to doing on some projects. You know, started looking at robotic layout, for example, and so it's really, you know, instrumental that we have these models to be able to drive this automation that we'll see on the construction projects as well. Number four, basically bringing it back to interoperability, is a big key that will unlock the next level. And I think it's really going to be a big shift when we look at going from a design model that seamlessly goes into estimating, into machine control, into inspections, and then eventually your asset management for the owner, right? So that's it's a big whole life cycle part of that. And then the other piece of it is people will be the difference. So you need to invest in the technology, but also the future is dependent on your people that we have in the workforce, developing the workforce, but also taking advantage of STEM programs within the school districts and seeing how we can leverage that into construction to bring in more leverage that to be able to bring in more workforce, more interest in construction as a career path. I think that's the next step of it. And basically, technology is just a way to empower the people to build smarter, safer, and faster. And then I'll like to, you know, sum it all up in a summary, as far as crystal ball, that I'll see the construction sites in the future. Basically, it'll run on the data, you know, with machines, models, and people together, but not only here on Earth, but, you know, we'll be doing this on the moon. We'll be doing it elsewhere too. So I think that's really where the future is leading.
I love it.
All right. There's a lot to think about and unpack, but at the end of the day, you're taking the carrot and the stick and staying, you know, if you really understand the data-enriched model that the operational costs for these owners can understand, that's really what I've been seeing as the silver lining, right? Of like, we always talk about begin with the end in mind, but it's really not about constructing the building. It's about the business of operating the business, right? And that's why I love how you started this conversation around people and core values and how businesses work and then all of the augmentation around that. So the final question we always ask to have people really think about there is all the different things, Todd, that you bring to the table. What is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about if they go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Yeah, I would definitely say that one way you can grow your business and help build it is to join groups like Construction Progress Coalition and just be an industry partner overall. Just, you know, work on industry initiatives, because that's the way you're going to be able to grow, but it's also the way that you're going to be able to help the industry out too. So if you really want to grow your business, I would say become a digital builder. You know, invest in the technology, train your people, like I mentioned before, and then really lead the effort with collaboration with industry focused groups.
I love that. Well, Todd, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. Any final words, Nathan, you want to give us as we're winding down on all these great conversations of coming out of the 2024 summit and into the 2025 and continue to break through the ceiling together, right, man?
Yeah, no, we just appreciate you, Todd, everything you've done to support CBC along the way and just the industry as a whole. You're definitely a natural innovator and, deserve to be recognized as such.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Crush it out there, Trev.